Should we start with your new Ask Me Anything?
Yes. Yes, let's do that. All right. Let's just dive right in here. I'll look up the number. What do we got here? 1220. Okay. What was I going to ask? Okay, so I think how I'll do it is I'll have it be like a series, like Ask Ben Anything, and then I'll give that week's like theme the title. So
are you soliciting?
Not yet. I think naturally people will
hear
these.
You have things you want to ask.
I have things.
Okay. We should set it up. Or is this recording now?
I'm recording right now, but let's start the episode.
So I have no idea what the topic's going to be.
Well, we'll set the episode. You can tell everybody. And I'll give the whole history.
No, I have no idea what you're going to ask, though.
Oh, I think I'll make the title a little ambiguous.
All right.
Do you like the word prayers or praying? It's going to be something about that. Prayers or praying?
Oh, if you say praying, I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Here we go. Ask Ben Anything. Praying. Oh, that's... Concentrating on that so much, I forgot to get the music ready. There we go. Oh, and it's episode 1220. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We're back.
We're back. And speaking of being back one day ago on Sunday, I was sitting at church. Something happened at church that reminded me, I've been wanting to ask Ben about this. And then I was just thinking, you know what could be fun? Instead of texting him, because sometimes I do text you theological questions just to get your take on things. Could be fun if just like off the cuff, I just present a question to you. You have no time to prepare.
Right.
We just get your genuine answer. And maybe later you want to think about it and come back with a different answer. But for now, here's your initial answer. And I feel like I think about things all the time that I may want to discuss with you. So now instead of texting you, I'm just going to save it for these episodes.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So I have two topics.
Awesome.
I'm just trying to think. There's two different questions, and they happen to both be prayer related.
Well, that's perfect. A prayer pair.
A pair of prayers. A prayer pair is better. Yeah. Okay. So you ready for question number one?
I am.
I've noticed at my church, which is Protestant, that this is not unique to all Protestant churches. I'm not even saying it's unique to my church, but let me just get to it. I've noticed that our pastors, when they do their kind of intro prayer, like you can picture in a Protestant church, the cadence is you get there, they're doing praise and worship songs.
Yeah.
Songs. Then they're maybe going to do little announcements and prayer.
Right.
Eventually get to the tithe. At that intro prayer,
like the post announcement prayer.
All the churches I've ever been to, they're, just like the person just following their heart and just going with it.
Extemporaneously.
But at this church I go to, I can see they come up with a piece of paper and they read word for word their prayer. And because I'm not used to that, it kind of bugs me. But then I was thinking for you, for Catholic churches, I guess the question is, do Catholic churches, because they're more liturgical than I'm used to, do they tend to read their prayers?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And then are your prayers, like, this one's a little bit more personalized. In a Catholic church, are your prayers, like, how every text is the same? Are the prayers about the same, or is it personalized for what do you call it, a congregation? What do you call your...
Yeah, the congregation. Oh. There's a missal, not like a weapon, but missle.
Kind of like a pistol.
I guess. I forget what the etymology of it is. It doesn't matter. But the missal has all of the rubrics for Mass. And so, there's different prayers that the priest might say on a certain occasion, or he might have a choice between three of them or something like that. So it can vary a little bit based on the liturgical season. But, yeah, the prayers are the same at Mass, and the priest should read them right out of there. I think that it's not uncommon, and in fact, it's very common for Catholics just in personal prayer to use pre-written prayer. Now, sometimes that's twisted to make the assumption, Catholics aren't allowed to pray their own prayers. Well, that's not true. I mean, I think that, for example, praying the rosary, it's joining your voice to prayers that are already in existence. It's not, this is where the accusations of vain repetition come in and all of that. And then certainly I think that that can be the case, but I would say that vain repetition can also be the case with extemporaneous prayer, meaning that you can just pray the same. How many people do you know who aren't following liturgical prayer might say the same bedtime prayer for their kids every night or dinner prayer or whatever. Like, it's human nature to fall into rote patterns.
Yeah, so, maybe like for our prayer, for our family prayer, I can tell there tends to be, even if the whole beginning and middle is different, we sort of end it the same way.
Yeah, okay. And so I think that, you know, it's not as though, well, as long as you're praying from the heart or whatever, you're making it up as you go along, that that somehow is better or in some way avoids that temptation to repetition.
I do want to pause you there because that is exactly, and I'm just being honest with my feelings. That's, I think, what annoyed me is it felt less authentic. Like when they come up there with a piece of paper and they just read it, it just didn't, it doesn't feel as real to me.
Why?
That's what I kind of wanted to discuss and get your take on. I think it just feels like, I know you use praying from your heart as a derogative, but yeah, I feel like if they're, well, if they're, if, let me just say this, if somebody's just letting the Spirit guide their prayer, not then, yeah, I don't know. Even if they mess up and they stumble over their words, it feels more real than coming up there and just reading words that they maybe wrote a week ago or earlier in the week to prepare for the Sunday service.
So, and I when I asked why, I knew the answer because, of course, I've been a Protestant and I've made those same arguments. I think that there's two things I would, at least two things I would challenge in that. I think that the idea that prayer from the heart and equates to spontaneity, I don't think those are the same. They can be. They can be. So I am not opposed to somebody having a spontaneous prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit or just by their own longing or, you know, their own state of mind or whatever they're in. Like, absolutely unopposed to that. What I'm opposed to is the notion that you're expressing, which is very common, especially to non-liturgical Protestants. Mm-hmm. I think your opinion would be much less common in Anglicans, Lutherans.
Or if I had grown up with it, maybe I'd be more used to it, but it felt off. Keep going.
But if I write a prayer, why can't my writing of that prayer be heartfelt? Why can't God speak through that? Why can't God speak through a prayer somebody wrote 500 years ago? Why is it that there's this, to be flippant about it, this expiration date on the power of the Holy Spirit, where as soon as it's out there, you better, it's like milk, you know, except super milk. You got to use it quick or it's going to go bad. And I think that's
what you mean if somebody writes it out 3 days earlier.
Yeah.
It's still, yeah, because as I was saying earlier,
it was the Holy Spirit was working through them as they were writing it, right. But now by the time we get to Sunday, it's no good.
Yeah,
it's gone bad.
As I was giving that complaint, I was thinking, well, I mean, the Holy Spirit could have been moving them as they were writing.
Absolutely.
So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that the challenge I would give to non-liturgical Protestants is I have no issue saying that your spontaneous prayer is fine and that God can work through that and that it can be a very genuine and moving experience. Why do you have an issue? And I'm not necessarily speaking to you directly.
You can talk to me.
Why do you have an issue with somebody giving thought to either writing a prayer or selecting a prayer that's been written?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm just answering for myself, I think before our conversation today, it felt less authentic, but I guess I could see at that moment that they're writing it, it could have been from their heart, and they just decided to translate it in a clean way.
Well, let me even go into to give you a great example. So we've been over on the extra feed. We've been doing our deep dive on the Divine Comedy, and we're a little over halfway through Purgatory right now. And as Dante is writing about the journey up the mountain, he has a series of prayers that the penitent the penitent Christians are praying on the mountain, and a lot of times they're from the Mass. Sometimes they're from Scripture, right? Like, have you ever prayed, you know, I think a lot of people, even lower church Protestants, have experienced in times of repentance, David's Psalm 51, you know, created me a clean heart, O God, is a very powerful prayer. You know, why is that not valid? Or think of, even in your context, you mentioned we start out before your post-announcement prayer, you start out with what? Praise and worship music, were all those created spontaneously? How many of those are in the form of prayer? Mm-hmm. So it's okay when you set it to music? Like, I think that there, I get the,
yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I get the natural feeling. I'm very sympathetic to that because when you're raised a certain way and that's what you know, I get that. But I think that if you actually look at it, there's not only, not only does it break down logically,
yeah,
there's a massive inconsistency right within your own worship service.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about with the music?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, we don't. Liturgical prayer is a no-go unless you put it into put it to music and repeat the chorus 87 times. Then you're then you're good.
Yeah.
No vain repetition there.
I yeah. So listeners, this is kind of the idea behind these episodes. I just bring a question to Ben. He with no preparation, he doesn't know what it's going to be about, and we just kind of talk it out. And yeah, I think you helped me through this because I was feeling like it was less authentic, but I wanted to talk it through with you because I also sensed I'm not in the right place. I need to, like, let's talk this through and see how I can get to a better place with this.
And the last thing I'd say with this isn't a Catholic versus Protestant thing.
Oh, yeah, of course not, because I go to a Protestant church.
Right.
Yeah.
And in fact, I would say it's a very small section of Protestants historically that would take that approach. I think the vast majority of Protestants would be at least somewhere closer to the Catholic end of the spectrum when it comes to liturgical prayer.
Yeah, the music thing is it wasn't necessarily like the point that won me over, but I could see what you're saying. Like, unless I was demanding that they made up the music on the spot,
right?
I can't also demand that they make up their prayer on the spot.
Have you ever
or the sermon?
Yeah,
or the homily.
Right. It's like I was just watching Fantastic Mr. Fox last night. Have you seen Fantastic
Mr.
Fox? So there's a musical part in there where, like, the Petey, who's one of the guys who's working for Bogus Bunsenbean, is singing this song about the foxes. And Bogus comes up behind him and says, like, what are you singing, Petey? And he says, I just make it up as we go along. He goes, that's just bad songwriting, Petey. You wrote a bad song. So there you go.
Great.
I don't know if that adds to the argument.
I don't think
it
does.
Made me think of it.
That's good.
That's all such a great movie, too.
So listeners, this is new. And ask Ben anything. I just might have a question presented to Ben. And my goal, I think you know, I'm not trying to do like a gotcha or like here's a question. Next one's going to be a little bit more.
I don't mind gotchas.
Yeah, that's not where I'm going with it.
I think we've always discussed Catholic things in good faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when we disagree.
Okay, so I'm reading this book right now called This Is My Body by
Robert Barron.
It's all about the Eucharist from the Catholic perspective.
Yep.
I actually got some great points. This is not what I want to talk about today, but I think I'm starting to. I don't want to put the stake in the ground right now, but real presence is getting really appealing.
Yeah,
real appealing. Should have said it that way. Appealing is not even the right word. I think I'm starting to be won over a little bit more towards that. We'll come back to that later.
Fair enough.
In the midst of that, they were just talking about some of the first century Christians, and I just kind of felt, you know, I try to remember the exact order of events. I probably have this a little bit wrong, but at some point while I was reading or shortly after, I was praying and I thought, you know what? I'm more open to some of these different Catholic beliefs, even as a Protestant. And you've talked to me a lot about praying to not God, praying to some of the saints. So I was thinking about trying it. And then as I'm there in the moment of prayer, not like I feel like it's wrong. I just thought to myself, like, I don't really know the point. Again, I'm saying this in a nice way. I just want to talk it through.
Right.
If I'm saying there in prayer and I can choose to talk to God or I can choose to talk to not God, it just didn't make sense to me in that moment. And I was open. I was in there with an open heart to the idea of, because you something you've mentioned before is you might ask me to pray for you about something. So why wouldn't it be okay to ask a saint, assuming that through God's power, he allows them to hear our prayers to them? I mean, prayer requests is how I'd say it. Like, I'm gonna restate it more clearly. You said that I could give a prayer request to somebody who's dead, and God could then, with his power, allow them to hear it in the afterlife, and then they could, on my behalf, pray for me to God, who they're with, and it would be similar to when you would come to me. Or if I was to go to you and ask you to pray for my family about something or whatever.
Right.
Okay. But as I was there in the moment of prayer, I just didn't exactly see If I can choose between God or a saint who can talk to God, why not just go right to God? So that,
yeah,
I guess the question that I wrote down, which sounds a little bit mean, what's the point of praying to somebody other than God?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I think it's actually a great question, and I think that there's a couple things going on with it. So part of it is maybe that, and this isn't wrong, but a lot of people think of like prayer as a certain time I have set aside. Maybe it's a devotional time or whatever. So then it's like to really be reductionistic with it, I have 10 prayer points. And so why would I spend my prayer points on anything other than God? Get the most bang for your buck. And okay, you know, whatever. Like there's nothing wrong with just praying to God.
I wasn't thinking about prayer points.
I
was just at a time of prayer, and yeah. I felt the most open I've ever felt to the idea of praying to somebody dead. Or I shouldn't say praying, because that's the misconception from Protestants.
Well, you have two misconceptions there.
And dead, yes. I know you don't
but
like
these
to
aren't,
say that.
No, but those aren't minor points. Finish your thought.
I'll reset. I, in the past, have never thought of giving a prayer request to somebody who is passed on here but is alive in Christ, okay? That's what you're getting at, right? Like eternal life.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I think we all understand, though. There's this difference.
No, I don't think you do, though, because right. It's not a minor side point. It's the answer to your question.
Yeah, but there's a difference for you talking to me right now and you talking to your favorite saint. There's a definite difference. Like
my experience of it is different.
Yeah.
But here's what's not different. The fact that we are both part of the body of Christ. That's not different.
So I guess it was even odd for me to feel like I'm accepting of this practice. Let's go for it. And then I kind of felt like, but why? So go ahead.
Yeah. Let me ask a slightly different question, and I'm coming around to your answer. So when we think of praying for other people, if I have a family member or a friend who isn't a Christian and they're going through a hard time, and I pray for them, I think that's really easy to get my head around why God would want us to do that. They're not doing it for themselves. They don't understand they should be. You know, even if somebody does, like just taking that time to pray for somebody else is a act of sacrifice and love. Outside of just the normal human relationship that asking somebody to do something for you is a way humans relate to each other. So take the human part of it out. Why does God want us to ask other people here on earth? I'm not talking about saints, to pray for us.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, do we know that he wants us to?
Yes, because in the Bible it says bear one another's burdens.
Okay. Well, then there it is. To come alongside.
No, I know it says that. But why?
All right. If I was going to answer based on the text, I guess I'd say just to come alongside somebody and encourage them spiritually.
So, well, that's kind of going the other way, though, of like why you should do it for someone else. Why should you ask someone to do it for you?
Are you saying, is it as simply as God asks us to do it?
No, I'm asking for a reason. Because like if you're saying, what I'm trying to get at is that, let's say I have an issue. And you notice I have an issue and you pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense. Like, that's, you're helping me bear my burden. That's not poking at that at all. I'm asking in the other direction, why should I come to you and say, could you pray for me, when I could spend that same time and energy going to God and just praying to him?
Okay, I'm just thinking this through live. I guess there's the idea that when I'm not praying, you could be also praying for me. I mean, and not that God's in time, but just maybe more spiritual power in multiple people praying.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
That's the answer. So what I'm saying is that, yes.
Is that the answer? Did I get it right? How would you have said it?
I mean, I don't think there's a single right answer, but what I think you're getting at the right things, that God has designed this world where there are limitations on us and things that he asks us to do, not because he is limited, but because we are. In other words, when it comes to prayer, God doesn't need us to ask other people to prayer, where he's like, well, I'd love to help you, but until you get five of your friends, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, God's not limited by that. God doesn't even need us to vocalize our needs to him, but he wants us to vocalize our needs to him. And God wants us to ask others to come to him on our behalf. In other words, it's not just you and God. The Christian life is about the church and God. It's a relational thing, not just you to God, but you to your fellow Christians. So what you just said, in that there is something powerful about having multiple people pray on your behalf, not because it's like, well, we got enough firepower directed at that God, and now he's going to listen to us. No, it's just like, for whatever reason, God's made the world that way. And he wants us to work with each other in that way. So the same thing is true when it comes to the saints. The saints are alive. They are still part of the body of Christ. Yes, the experience of me speaking to you versus speaking to the saints is different, but that's an experience. That's how I experience it. The reality is they are not just still alive. And that's why I said this isn't a minor point. They're actually more alive than you and I are. All right, think about that. Like, they are more alive than you and I are. So everything you would say, and I think, like, it's not that you got the right answer. You got a right answer. And if we were to, we could spend a whole night digging into why does God want us to ask other people to pray for us, and we could probably come up with a dozen great answers to it, maybe 100. Like, there's a lot of reasons. The reality is that's how God wants the Christian life to work. And so the same thing applies to when we reach out to the saints. Yeah, you can just talk to God directly. But God has designed us in relationship with each other in the church, and he, dare I say, commands us to participate in that. It's the same reason why it's like, why should I go to church? I just need God. Yeah, I mean, I guess on one level that's true, but it's also not how God made it. You know, why should I work on my sin? God could just free me from all that sin. Well, you work on your sin not because it's like God needs a buddy. It's not the buddy system. It's because God designed you to need to do hard work to grow up. You know, it's like there's all these things that we tend to get into this thought trap of, like, you know, God's big enough where he doesn't need me to do that. Yeah, you're not, though. So it's a you problem, not a God problem.
Do you find yourself that you tend to, if there was a problem that you had in your life, would you tend to go to people that you know on earth, or do you tend to go to people like saints that do you, I have a second question, but yeah, you understand the question I'm asking for the first one, and then I'll have a part two.
I mean, both. I guess, you know, I pray the rosary almost every day.
And that includes, oh, that is to Mary.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So I pray the St. Michael prayer multiple times a day. I guess it's both.
Oh, those are prayers that you made up ahead of time.
Well, I didn't make them up.
Okay, I had a part two. Okay, what was it? Oh, no. Can you tell me how did I ask that question again? This will remind me of part two.
Are you more likely to pray to people on earth or saints or both?
Oh, yeah, saints. Okay, great. The second part of the question is, can you only pray to saints, or can you pray to anybody who is a Christian, or are they all considered? Yeah, you get what I'm asking. Like, is everybody that's a Christian that dies considered a saint, or are there special people that can hear your prayers or prayer requests?
So
to say prayer requests is the more correct term, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's
because we would not pray to Saint Michael. We would pray a prayer request.
It's all six of one half. It's a limitation in our language. Yeah. Whatever helps you to think about it better. I'm not gonna. I don't think anybody's committing a heresy if they say I pray to Mary.
Okay, so let's say
that it's also unhelpful to people.
Let's say my grandpa has passed away. He's a Christian. He's in heaven, but he's not Saint Michael. Can he also hear me?
Yeah, well, let's think.
I mean, God can do anything, but
well, there you go. Why can Saint Michael or Mary or, you know, Augustine, as I see you have confessions out here, or Saint Thomas Aquinas or any of them? Why can they hear you? Like, why does, I mean, if it's true?
I mean, I imagine God allows, supernaturally.
We're all connected to God.
Yep.
So when we think of the saints, we need to distinguish a little bit between the canonized saints and the saints.
Yes.
Meaning that anybody who is in heaven, which I would say has made it through purgatory.
Mm-hmm. So whatever that people was. In purgatory can't pray for you?
I don't know. They might be able to. I mean, Dante certainly conceptualizes them, but let's just for the sake of simplicity say people who are enjoying the beatific vision. Of course they could pray for you. Yeah, you don't have to look at like, ah, that's an unofficial saint. Ah, C.S. Lewis isn't a saint. I think if you want to pray to C.S. Lewis...
Man, you think all these like well-known people like Augustine and C.S. Lewis, they get so many prayer requests. They're like, I can't, please. It's too much.
I think however it works, it's done by the power of God. And that's the other principle to this, is that it's not like, hey, God, I know I was going to pray to you. Why don't I just go over here and I'm going to talk to Clive? Because that was his name,
Clive Staples.
Exactly. Right. No, it's like God's part. If it wasn't for God being a part of it, none of it would be happening.
This is not a negative, but again, just to bring it back up, I wonder if you can understand, it feels odd to say, I'm just going to talk about C.S. Lewis since you just mentioned him. Here's me on one side of the, if you want to picture a timeline, spectrum, whatever you want, here's me, and then I'm going to pray over here down the line to C.S. Lewis, give a prayer request to him, but in between us, God is the one that intervenes and makes it possible. So again, I'm left with that feeling, even though your whole argument today has been very strong, and I think I agree with you. So I think I'm okay with it. But I'm saying if you have to go through God anyways, it just feels like, oh, extra step.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say two things. First of all,
God passes on the prayer and then that person prays back to God.
I'll answer that, but I don't think it's quite God passing on the prayer. That's not quite what I meant. But as far as just the feeling of it goes, I totally get that. I'd say it was a long time. Not like a long time, but it took time after accepting it intellectually in my conversion process to where it was something I felt comfortable mm-hmm. with. So I would say the feeling thing is very, very normal. Like that's totally fine. But I don't think it's like God playing the mailroom. That's not quite what I mean. I mean it more as a manifestation of in him we live and move and have our being. Like it's participation in Christ, not God passing on messages, like I'm passing a note to God to give to C.S. Lewis to give back to God.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that to whatever supernatural powers allowing the saints to pray for us and to hear our petitions and pray on our behalf is not the function of God passing notes. It is a function of all of us being part of the body of Christ. There is something supernatural, mysterious happening. That's all I mean.
All right. I'm going to close this out with a quick story about prayer, and then we'll wrap this thing up. So in 2017, I had my second daughter born. So she just turned 9. So 2 weeks after she was born, we get called into the doctor because they had done some scans. Something was up with her heart. Do you remember the story?
Yep.
And you see my post. Every year,
yep.
I post the story on Facebook as a testimony just because I feel like, well, I'll tell the story, but God works in this story. And so I feel every year I have to share it. She's 2 weeks old. And actually, so that anniversary of when we had to go in for heart surgery is next week. So we find all this out, though. We get called in for an appointment. I'm expecting it just to be some, like, they're just doing their due diligence.
Right, they're just doing their stuff.
But we end up finding out that one of her valves is messed up. It's, like, leaking fluid inside of her. And... she had to go immediately to the local children's hospital and then get like prepped for heart surgery. And this is my 2 week old.
Yep.
And so right there that afternoon, as we're at the children's hospital, I remember really clearly we're at the like cafeteria in the hospital. Haven't sent her away yet to do like the prep for the surgery yet. But so we're there at the cafeteria. We just start calling everybody. We're calling our family. We're calling our church. We get on the church phone tree where everyone's praying. And, co-workers, I mean, everything. And it was like one of those moments where you feel like we have a big Christian family praying on our behalf. So they do the prep in the middle of the prep. And they've already warned us this is happening. Like they've looked, they've done the scans. She's going to have surgery, but there's one more little prep they do just to be doubly sure where they actually go inside with a camera and don't just take the echocardiogram for, you know, as fact. So they go in there. And the doctor comes back out and he says, like, she's fine. And I thought he was saying the prep, it wasn't a surgery, but it was invasive, that prep was fine. And she was fine after that. But she still had to get the surgery. But this doctor was saying somehow, and he couldn't use the word miracle.
Right.
But somehow, she was, like, what they saw on the scan hours earlier was no longer true. It was, and to me, it just felt like, miraculously, God healed her. And I've always credited it to the power of prayer and all those people. And here's why I bring this story up today. If you're saying, and I can see what you're saying, I'm believing you through this conversation, that yes, we can go to our church family and our coworkers and our real family, yeah. But we can also go to countless saints that we know, the Christians that have passed on to the afterlife,
the great cloud of witnesses.
I mean, it does feel like it's almost an even more powerful.
Exactly
have,
right.
There's even a more powerful support that you have than you even knew about.
You could have just prayed to God instead of calling your church prayer line. You could have, and God would have heard you. But I think you know it's not the same, and not because of a limitation on God.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Yeah, there's something you said earlier in this episode, and it was that we don't know exactly why it works this way, but it seems like the way that God set things up, it seems like there's a power in a united prayer.
Correct.
United by multiple people praying for the same thing. I don't know how that works, and it doesn't always work, but it does feel like there's something there that's powerful, and maybe even through what you're saying, more powerful if you're also tapping into this whole other, I mean, it's weird to say it this way, but resource,
right,
that I guess Protestants would ignore.
Well, some Protestants. We gotta pay attention to our high church friends.
I think I'm gonna give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
You used the word uncomfortable, and that maybe I couldn't put it into those words, but yeah, maybe that is what. As I sat there, there was this feeling of, I'm a little uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
I'm not against it, and intellectually, I think
that's very normal.
Yeah, intellectually, I can get there that this is okay, but it feels uncomfortable. But I think I'm gonna try it. All right, listeners. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
That's a successful first episode.
We'll be back with more. Just whenever I have questions, I'll just save them. And just like you save rants for the uncensored feed,
yeah,
I'll just save some questions, and we'll do these episodes here and there. And maybe someday a listener will want to send in a question as well.